Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
And my name's Ed Stetzer, and I'm here with Daniel Lim.
All right. So a few episodes back, we talked about politics and preaching, and that was a bit of a setup for today's and the episode in two episodes from now, where we're going to be talking all about creating a preaching calendar. Now, a little bit of history on this. When I honestly don't remember, I mean, this is like episode 543, so I honestly don't remember which episode
we 543. We're like besties. I mean, we have been BFFs forever.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's
I love the difference we've made. I love how many church planners come up to me and say how helpful this is. It just makes me happy. So anyway, I'm happy today.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, over a million, like way over a million now downloads. So it's definitely a blessing to be doing this with you. But there is an episode where early on we got multiple questions about what do you do when you're preparing to launch? Yeah. And one of the things that we've talked about over and over again, and I'm sure we've talked about it in planting missional churches too, is the importance of, hey, in those months leading up to the launch, you're going to have, I mean, use your time wisely. So perhaps that means actually preparing 8 sermons so that when you launch and all your energy has to be going toward calling and following up and connecting, you don't need to worry about hitting home runs, because you really do need to hit home runs when it comes to preaching those several. I mean, you want to try to do as best as you can, but especially as you're launching, you want to be able to do that. And oftentimes there's just a lot of preparation that needs to go into that. So really, one of the things that you could also be working on as you prepare to launch, and this isn't just for planting a church, this is just in general, because as a pastor, you are preaching on a regular basis. And with all, especially if you're the leader, right? I mean, funerals, weddings, yeah. There's so many things that come up, so many quote unquote interruptions that aren't really interruptions, but if you're in preaching mode and you don't have a message ready for that Sunday and it's Thursday and you're still trying to figure out what the topic is, everything is an interruption. One of the things that really does help is something called a preaching calendar. Yep. So yet there's so many different ways to get at it. So I'd love for us just to riff on preaching calendars and preaching over these next two episodes.
So here's where it gets tricky, right? So we got a lot of people from different traditions that listen to the podcast. So, and a lot of people from different approaches to preaching, right? So, you know, I think that the assumption is that most church planners preach topically. I don't think that's probably as true as it was in the 80s and 90s. I think now you've got people planting who are preaching expositorially. In other words, as Kanye West recently had on the Joe Rogan podcast, explained expository preaching. Google that. You'll see Kanye West explaining expository preaching to Joe Rogan. But some language might be helpful here. Just a few things, right? First, topical preaching. We don't see that as unbiblical preaching. We see it as something can be a theme. You build out a theme, maybe 6-7 weeks on something, search the scriptures, bring the full counsel of the Word of God on a topic, like what it might be, fear, or it might be whatever. That's perfectly legitimate and a way to do that. I'll talk about my preference that you might have a more balanced diet. So that's topical or thematic preaching. And I think that can be faithfully teaching and preaching the Word of God. Then there's expository preaching, which, again, people might say you can have topical expository preaching. I wouldn't necessarily argue that point. I think if the text is sort of driving your delivery, you're teaching a doctrine or a theme, and you can be faithful to the text and you can exegete texts in the process. But typically we think of expository, we think of more verse by verse exposition. I'm mm-hmm. preaching through the book of Philippians again, now at a church I'm serving in New York City. So that's more common. But then there's a whole different thing. You know, some people follow a liturgical calendar. Mm-hmm. Some people follow, there are different ways to ultimately go through preaching following that. So there's 7 or 8 variations of preaching. So let's say you're following the liturgical calendar, you'll have a Pentecost sermon, which is not about Pentecostalism. You'll have Advent messages, right? You'll have different things that you might follow a lectionary, right? So a lectionary actually gives you, last time I spoke at the cathedral for the Diocese of Central Florida with the Episcopal Church, and they had a lectionary. There's the Revised Common Lectionary. So the problem is there's 50 things. So all that being said, if you're preaching through the lectionary, you have a preaching calendar.
Yeah,
that's right. You know, and someone somewhere else is preparing that. Not bad, not sinful. Churches do that. If you preach the books of the Bible, you know, my friend at Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, Brian Broderson, you know, he preached the book of the Bible and it takes forever. You know, just think about Calvary Chapel, sort of their approach. So that's your preaching calendar. You're going through Genesis. I'll see, or, you know, right here, I'm sitting in my office and over the church that abuts us, you know, shares a property line with us, it's College Church. And I think it was Romans, but somebody posted a picture of when our kids started the book of Romans with Pastor Josh Moody. And then they're like 5 years older and now our kids finished the book of Romans, right? So you have a preaching calendar. Now, I'll talk about what I do. You talk about what you do. And let me say too, I have not been the senior pastor of a local church for a while. But when I was at Moody, for example, I didn't completely choose, but the elders, so I would say this is what I'd like to do. And I would say 80% of the time they were good with it. They wanted to do a series at one point that I was, oh, sure, no, I'm happy to do that. They saw a need we needed to address. If I'm picking it, here's what I'm looking for in a rhythm of a preaching calendar. I want to preach the majority of time verse by verse. Here's why. I want to preach in a way that people should read their Bible. So when people are reading through it, they should understand it. They might have to look up some things. So 2/3 of the time, and always in the summer and the winter, I want to be preaching through a book of the Bible. Now, when I was at Moody Church, it was Matthew, and it was, I don't even know, a year and a half or so. However, I take breaks. So 2/3 of the time, I want to preach the book of the Bible, and 1/3 of the time, I want to do something thematic. My difference in my head between thematic and topical. Thematic is multi-week on a theme. Topical might be Mother's Day or Christmas or something. Or just for that matter, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about let's talk about the election or let's talk about suffering if there's been a crisis in our community, right? So for me, that's the way I want to build it. Now, as a church planter, I typically want to start with a thematic series. So fall or spring, and then I want to continue that pattern. So fall or spring, we're asking people to invite their friends to church. Maybe it's for the grand opening, right? So then we're doing a series. It might be a series on stress, fear, family, whatever it may be. And I say, hey, we're doing this series, bring your friends, or it's the grand opening, bring your friends. We do 6 or 7 weeks of that. And then, you know, let's say I start in the fall, by the time we get to, might get through November, then we do Christmas stuff, you know, Advent stuff for our liturgical purist friends, because Advent precedes Christmas. Christmas begins on December 25th. And then starting in January, I'd say, now we're going to jump into a book of the Bible. We're going to go through Ruth or something like that. Do that for January, February, March, Easter. I might do a 4-week series around that. People bring their friends. So here's, and I know I'm doing too much talking. Let me just say this. I see the topical thematic as on-ramps. I'm on a highway. I'm on a highway of teaching people the Word of God. Some people walking in and suddenly stepping in the middle of 1 Corinthians is rather jarring. So fall, October, November, right? Maybe up to Thanksgiving, I'm giving them an on-ramp. Here's a 6-week series on something that is thematic that people who maybe don't know the Lord might even engage in or new people could come into. But then I want to get them onto the highway of 2/3 of the time doing more expository preaching so that becomes a pattern for them.
Okay, so let's do a double click dive down into Matthew, for example.
Double click dive. That's kind of all right, let's do it.
Or double tap, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about Matthew. So you're preaching through Matthew at Moody, and there's there's, I guess we can talk about speed, right? So podcasts, I don't know how many people listen to podcasts on one speed, one times, or, you know, you go 1.2, 1.5, 1.752 and onwards. So yeah. At what speed? Can I just tell you,
nobody listens to Ed Stetzer on 1.5 speed or 1.75 speed. Nobody does. So this is the one area, for good or for ill, I'm a fast talker. But that was not your question. No. Go ahead.
Yeah. So let's talk about speed, because let's just talk about Matthew 8, for example. So I just opened up Matthew 8, and we have, if we just look at the headings, we have a man cleansed, right? Four verses, a centurion's faith, several verses, healings at Capernaum, the cost of following Jesus,
and that's
wind
narrative.
And waves
that's
obey Jesus,
right.
Demons driven out by Jesus. So there's 34 verses, and they're kind of broken up in my Bible in these different sections. So how would you approach Matthew 8, just to give our listeners a really clear example?
Yeah, so those, that is narrative text. So mm-hmm. when it's narrative text, I want to take each section. There's a section called a pericope. So I want to take each section, and I want to take that section and probably have it in its own story. So I literally opened up my file here to Matthew chapter 8. I have all of my sermons preached for the book of Matthew saved here. So I did Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 17. So,
okay.
So 1 through 17 is the first part, and that deals with Jesus and the outcast. That was the name of that series, that message. And then we went down to Matthew 8, 17 through 22, and then 23 through 27. Yep, so that's sort of the pattern. So 23 through 27 is the power of Christ, and we're dealing with the power of Christ over, and then there are several things that you go through, there. So I typically, with a narrative text, I'm going to try to give the whole story of that one, again, pericope, if possible. So if Jesus is encountering a leper, I want to tell the story of the leper. And then, however, it tends to go slower in like Philippians, which is not narrative text, right?
Yeah, so let's talk about Philippians 1. Okay. How would you break that up?
So typically in smaller chunks, I guess I would say.
Yeah.
So for example, I started the book of Philippians and I looked at Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. And I've just, let's talk about, who Paul and Timothy are to the church at Philippi. So it really matters throughout the book of Philippians that you know that Philippi had a special citizenship status with Rome. And because Paul talks a lot about your citizenship is in heaven, but the people of Philippi, it had a different status than most cities. It was an imperial city. And so people there had much pride that their citizenship was of this certain kind. So I kind of explain that. So, and I might even go to explaining that. I'd go to Acts chapter 17, around there, Acts 16, 17 and following, where we actually see the church of Philippi planted. And it starts with, this rich businesswoman, this, we think this demon-possessed slave girl, even though we don't know for sure, and then this suicidal jailer. And I literally say, let's talk about the church of Philippi. It's got this motley team of a rich businesswoman, a demon-possessed slave girl, and a suicidal jailer who then form this church, who are citizens of heaven in this community, this Philippi, that actually has this special Roman status where they're proud of their citizenship, but there's a different kind of citizenship here. So that's just verse one, one and two. But then you speed up after that, right? So I don't want to spend all the time going that slowly, though people do that, and I'm not like against them for for when they do that. But for example, I would go from verses three and for Philippians. What was that? That was Steve awesome. Harvey did that. Steve Harvey did That's that. Awesome. He welcomed people. Congratulations, Miss Philippines, in some contest. But verses 3 through 11 make a good section.
Yeah.
So it can depend upon. If there's a lot of text that needs to be addressed, themes in the text, I've got to slow it down some to cover it faithfully. But here's the thing. This week I preached from 1 Peter, and there's just a tough passage there where, he preaches to the spirits in prison. And, I could have spent 3 weeks on that, but that's not the main point that Peter's making there. And so I didn't spend a lot of time explaining all that's going on there. And I just focused in on kind of the meaning of the text itself.
No, that's helpful. That's helpful. The speed is, it's so fascinating because I've done messages where I would preach the Lord's Prayer. Like the Lord's Prayer was an entire message. And right now, we're actually taking one line at a time of the Lord's Prayer. And it's just fascinating to
So when you're doing it now, that's the weekly messages, one line at a time, but you've preached the whole thing as once before.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's just, you can, with 30 minutes, right? I mean, you could go, for example, when I did the message just on give us today our daily bread, just that in and of itself, I went to a depth in that message that I wouldn't be able to do through the whole, you know, if you were to preach the whole Lord's Prayer as one sermon. So there are definitely different ways to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say that none of, you know, the Lord's Prayer going through, you know, of course, you know, Matthew has the Lord's Prayer recorded, so does Luke, just in a shorter version. So you can actually bring those two together if you go line by line, pull them together. But I totally get how you could make it a, this is one message. And I would say, as you preach through the book of the Bible, books of the Bible, you'll get comfortable with it. I think what happens is it's intimidating to people because they hear a preacher go like four words. And what I would say is that, and I'm actually, again, I think that's fine. I've done that before and I do that sometimes now. But what I would say is that's not how people would have naturally heard the text 2,000 years ago. So imagine people, they would read out loud the book of, the book of Ephesians, for example. And so, you know, the book of Ephesians has that very long run-on sentence in the beginning in Ephesians chapter 1.
Yeah.
So that run-on sentence, you could take a month on, but there are three or four key themes in that sentence as well that you could just say, this is the introductory long run-on sentence. You're not allowed to use run-on sentences because you're not inspired and inerrant, but Paul could do so, and here's the four themes that come from that. So, I would say, too, you don't have to be, don't be a slave to the breaks in your Bible, but they can help you. So in a narrative section like Matthew, not all of Matthew is narrative, you know, the Sermon on the Mount is obviously not, but in the narratives, that I can look at that and say, all right, I should cover this whole section, this whole it's got an indent at the beginning, it's like one paragraph, boom, it's set up for me. And I can do similarly in the epistles or other places where I can kind of explain one point or one theme, keeping in mind that I'm sure all of our listeners know that the verses and the chapters weren't in there, but they do kind of help us sometimes.
They do. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for listening into today's episode. We'll continue on in episode 545 in doing a little bit more of a deep dive onto the nuances of a preaching calendar. So be sure to listen into that episode too. And thanks again for listening in.